Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter, 2007.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth.
The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth.
The Lord is King, let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne.
The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth.
The heavens proclaim his justice, and all the people see his glory. All gods are prostrate before him.
The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth.
You, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all gods.
The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth.
A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, heard a voice saying to me, "Behold, I am coming soon. I bring with me the recompense I will give to each according to his deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they who wash their robes so as to have the right to the tree of life and enter the city through its gates. I, Jesus, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let the hearer say, 'Come.' Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it receive the gift of life-giving water. The one who gives this testimony says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, "Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, and that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you loved them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also might be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today, Don and I are in studio, and we've just done the readings, and hopefully we're working on our sound, and I'm hoping this works okay today. We've been having all kinds of sound quality issues. But aside from that, we're here to discuss the readings that we just heard. And one of the things that struck me in the readings is the gospel reading really focuses a lot on unity. For me, that's a big theme. I think that that's something we've lost a lot in the church. We live in a world that's so divided. And in fact, it's actually part of the reason that I have my website, Working to Beat Hell, for any of you who are listening from that site. It's workingtobeathell.org. And one of the things that I talk about in that website is that we live in a world that's so polarized and so us against them, left against right, conservative, liberal, Catholic, Protestant, any way you want to put it. But it's polarized and we live in these little pockets almost. And we're not united when really the whole point of Christ coming, the Eucharist, is all about unity. And Christ was about unity. And throughout this gospel reading, you see that he's praying that we become one, one with him and one with each other, in the same way that the Father and Christ are one. And this goes back to our creed. We believe that there is one God. We say three persons, but one God. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all one, and there's a unity there. And that's really the unity that we're supposed to mimic in our own lives, is a unity with other Christians, a unity with other people. We're supposed to be people of unity and not division. So that was one thing that really hit me. Dawn, did anything hit you in these readings today?
Well, also in the Gospel, just a little bit later, Jesus thanks the Father and says that his disciples were a gift from the Father to him. And so I got to thinking about, if we take that prayer and put it in our own lives, we too are a gift to Jesus from the Father. And what does that mean if we are then brought into the Trinity and almost embraced in this love that is so unconditional? If I truly believe that I was loved unconditionally and I'm a gift to Jesus, how would that change my daily actions and what I believe about myself and others?
I think that's also a powerful image. So often we hear the image of Jesus being a gift to the world, mm-hmm. and Jesus is our gift. And this is the reverse of that, where we are a gift to Jesus from the Father. And in a sense, what we are to be then is a sign of the love between that the Father has for Jesus. Just as any other gift, a lot of times a parent would give a child a gift, and really behind that gift is love. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a gift that represents that love. And so you're right, it should affect the way, if we understand that, it should affect the way we act towards other people and just the way we go about our daily lives. Do we act like a gift that demonstrates the great love that the Father has for the Son?
And you know, I was just thinking, when you were talking about unity, if I can believe that I'm a gift to Jesus, well, so is all the other Christians around me and the people around me, that I need to believe that they too are gifts.
Right. And that's very important there, because it's not just I'm the only gift.
Right.
All of us are gifts. And it affects so many areas. I mean, we could take this off and talk about how we have to respect life from this. I mean, mm-hmm. you could do a whole respect life thing. You could talk about the way that we have to work for a Christian unity from this, or just for unity amongst all people to live peaceably with each other. There are so many different aspects to this issue of being a gift from the Father to the Son. The other thing, the other big word that I saw in these readings was the word no. And for me, this really tied back to the reading of the Good Shepherd, where Jesus was talking about knowing my voice. My sheep know my voice and they do my will. And here you have him saying that the world may know that you sent me, that I am, or that the world will know me through the people who you have sent. Not just through me, but through my apostles and through all the disciples. So all of us are supposed to make known Jesus in the world too. So we're not only that gift that demonstrates the love from the Father to the Son, but we're also supposed to make Jesus known to the people who don't know Jesus. And we do that primarily, as Jesus said a few weeks ago, by following his word. He said, "My sheep are those who hear my voice and follow my voice." And I, when I thought about that, I thought, gee, you know, it's real easy a lot of times to hear Jesus' voice. Sometimes it's harder to follow that voice. But if we're going to make Jesus known, we can't do it just through words. We have to do it through our actions. We have to do things that make people say, wow, this is a person of Christ. Last week in my preaching, I talked about uniforms, and I said, when Jesus told his disciples that you will be known by your love for one another. That's what he said. I said, that's sort of the uniform that we as Christians have to wear, is it's not going out by preaching. He didn't say it's by attending church that they will know you're Christians, but it's by your love for one another. It's how you act throughout your everyday life. It's not something that will affect one day a week, and then the other 6 days a week just kind of goes away. It's this uniform we have to put on in public, you know, whether we're out shopping at Wegmans or eating lunch at Taco Bell, my favorite restaurant, by the way. There's a plug in there. We do have a listener who is from the Taco Bell franchises, and I love Taco Bell, so I thought I'd throw that plug in.
I think Brian's looking for coupons to Taco Bell.
I got them already. I've used them. That's great. Did you have any thoughts on any of the other readings?
Thinking the obvious one about Stephen. Here's Stephen. We sort of come in at the end of it, and he's been, the people are persecuting him, basically, and he is standing up for what he believes. And I was thinking about that when you were talking about being known for being a Christian and a follower of Jesus, and how firm he was in his belief. And what if we had people like that nowadays that were, well, we do have people. If we had more people that stood up for what they really believed. And I just thought that was interesting because it went right along with what you were saying.
I think you're right. I think that's a good point, that the whole issue of standing up for what we believe, we're not supposed to deny our faith. And I think it can be very difficult in our world, especially people who work maybe in a corporate environment, where a lot of times there can be questionable business practices, and people do things because their boss told them to. You can take Enron as an example, the huge scandal there. And yet we have to say, we're called to stand up for what is right. And oftentimes that can be a hard thing to do, because you have to stand up against maybe your employer. It could be friends, family. And in a sense, the martyrdom that we have today, it's not the same of a physical martyrdom so much in our culture in the U.S., but there is a form of martyrdom that we might be asked to go through at times. And it might be the thing where you have to stand up to an unethical practice at your job, and that might even put your job at risk, or any number of things like that. Standing up to friends could put a friendship at risk. Those are very tough situations to face, and that's, I think, the martyrdom that we face today. And yet we're called to do it, because that's how we show our faith. When we back down, in a sense, we're kind of backing away from our faith. And what we want to be careful of is that we don't end up denying our faith. I have a professor at the seminary who's always saying, you know, Jesus says, if you deny me before others, I'll deny you before the Father. And you don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus go, well, who the hell are you? So that would be a bad thing, as he would say. And I think it is important. It's, do we, through our actions, are we showing our Christian love? Are we showing that we know Jesus? Are we making Jesus known? Or are we backing away from it because either it's not the acceptable thing, or it's not the cool thing to do, or any number of things like that? I think that's a real challenge from today's gospel and from the first reading, is how do we make that unity known, and how do we make our faith known by the way we live our lives, through our actions?
Well, Brian, just real quickly, you just mentioned the seminary, and it made me think, a lot of people probably don't know that this weekend you're going to receive the rite of candidacy.
Yes, that's right.
And could you talk a little bit, you know, that's not something we hear a lot about, so maybe it'd be a chance for people to understand.
Sure. This weekend, for anybody who is a St. Mary's parishioner who happens to be listening to this podcast, the 9 o'clock Mass on Sunday is going to be my rite of candidacy. And what that is there's a few steps that you take before you're ordained. Right now, there are three steps. There's one called Acolyte, one called Lector, and one called Candidacy. And each of those steps are sort of minor steps along the way to ordination. The last one that I have to receive is Candidacy, which, like I said, will be the 9 o'clock Mass on Sunday. Please show up, people. There'll be a reception that follows with cake.
Bring presents.
That's right. But the rite of candidacy, what it's doing is I will declare my official intent to be ordained, to say that I've reached a point and I've decided I'm going to ask the church for their prayers for me on my path to ordination, but also I'm asking the church to support me in my desire to be ordained. And the bishop, on behalf of the church, will accept that from me, will accept that request, and also offer the church's intent to ordain me in the future, you know, provided that I continue along the path and do, it's not a, you know, binding contract or anything. Right. If I do something really bad, the bishop could say, forget it, we're not ordaining you. But at the same time, it shows the bishop is saying that we've seen, or the church is saying, actually, and the bishop is the person saying it on behalf of the church, but we've seen your growth throughout the time that you've been in seminary, and we do believe that we want to ordain you. We want you to be one of our servants for priesthood and diaconate. So it's kind of a formal declaration of the relationship of my intent to be ordained and the church's response saying, yes, we believe that you are being called to priesthood and we would like to have you ordained for service in the church.
Pretty cool.
So that'll be going on at the 9 o'clock Mass. So hopefully we'll see you there, and if we don't, we hope that you'll at least come back and listen to our podcast next week. Have a good week, and God bless.